Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Timber Living Log Cabins. For your perfect workspace, living space or hideaway, timberliving.ie.
Amanda Brunker, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So Amanda, you've picked some songs for us that have meant a lot to you in your life. But before we get to that, so you've been a model, a beauty queen, you were a singer briefly there at one stage. You've been
thanks
a journalist,
for that.
A novelist, and now you're a playwright.
I am.
So tell us about your play Curiosity.
Yeah, well, thank you for going straight into the plug. I really do appreciate that. I was like,
we'll get it out of the
way.
It's going to
get lost somewhere right down the end.
I'm actually quite interested in the idea of this play. Like, for starters, it sounds like you're not even pretending to write like a challenging piece of theatre that people will be chin-stroking about afterwards. It's one of those raucous fun nights out for women, is it?
It is just pure comedy. And that's it was written for women and starring two women. I've got two great Fair City actresses in it, Circa Furlong and Amy Kerwin. And I put it on last year as part of the Dublin Gay Theatre Festival, and we had a great reaction to that. It was sold out for most nights, and I put it on again this year because we had to change one of the actors. But I was actually quite surprised because I wrote it for women and I kind of wrote it for myself. A lot of the stuff that I do write, I do to entertain myself, because I don't think there's enough comedy. There's plenty of serious work out there and there's plenty of kind of stuff that'll really make you think, and it's just like kind of going, yeah, okay, enough. And also in theatre, there's an awful lot of rehashing of the same old shows over and over again.
When you say that now, you could be talking about that people like maybe rewrite a classic Ibsen play or something, but you're calling it rehashing of the same old shows. I like it. People not come up with new plays.
No, but the
who is this
is,
Ibsen?
I think it's partly to do with people are, a lot of theatre owners as well, they're afraid to take a chance on new work.
Yeah.
And that's understandable because I think the theatre scene is actually quite struggling. Even like the big theatres, like The Abbey, all the rest, they're struggling to get people in. People don't go
Amanda
to the theatre.
Amanda Brunker's going to save
I'm going to save theatre by making people laugh.
So what's it about?
Okay, so Curiosity is about two women who end up in this hellhole of a health farm. And I actually wrote it before COVID. And basically, they were subjected to an outbreak of the winter vomiting bug, and they're kind of abandoned to their crappy rooms to crap themselves into next week, basically.
That's lovely.
But there's an awful lot of the comedy that comes from it. They're two flawed characters. I don't want to give too much away, but it does kind of, it's a little bit naughty, shocker, because that's what most of my work is about. And it's about two women who were curious about exploring other options other than their crappy husbands.
So do you think, is this a common thing? Like, I wouldn't be aware of this now, but I'm probably coming into the zone. Some women at a certain point in their lives think, you know what,
like it would be easier to live with another woman.
Really, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. A lot of middle-aged women think that. They kind of go, geez, wouldn't it be a lot easier if I was a lesbian? Because then I could live with my best friend.
Okay, are you in trouble with the LGBT community over this?
No, definitely not.
Are you allowed?
Listen,
your size fours into this area.
But I'm not saying anything bad. I'm just there saying that a lot of women do become curious at a certain point. But that doesn't mean they're going to take it any further.
Yeah, men probably at a certain point maybe are a bit more relaxed around other men as well. But I think most of them would kind of think, but I'm not, if they're straight, I'm not curious about this.
Of course they're not. They have it too good. Men have it too good.
Do you reckon? Yeah. Is that it, maybe?
Straight men who are married live so much longer than straight men who are on their own. So, and by luck, being looked after by women.
Okay, okay. So they're going nowhere. They're not upsetting that apple cart.
Anyway, back to the play. It's not... Mrs. Brown's Boys, but it would be...
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
No, but it is definitely...
added in that kind of area.
It's not that area, but it is in the same vein that it is gag after gag after gag after gag.
Okay. And is it halfway between Mrs. Brown and the Vagina Monologues?
Do you know, I never actually saw the Vagina Monologues because I was disgusted they never asked me to be in it, so I refused to go. Isn't that petty?
You won't go to any play you're not in. I like it.
I know, definitely not.
That's probably a good rule to have about the theatre.
This was a long, long time ago.
Okay.
It's just a good fun night out. It's a feel good, and it'll make people think as well. But and at some at certain points, it'll make people kind of hide behind their eyes or their hands as well.
I think people like a good old laugh, don't they?
Exactly. And there's
everything is very meaningful and serious these days.
But there's nothing wrong with that. But there just needs to be a space for everybody. And I'm really lucky that the Viking Theatre out in Clontarf, it's got a great kind of regular audience that people go and support it all the time. So with the, they've got a show on there now at the moment called Bullied. There's another one coming up. And then,
okay, enough. No, come on.
But right. I have to tell people when it's on, Brendan. It's on September 4th to the 16th for 2 weeks.
Okay.
Come see us and have a laugh.
Okay. Now, your first song choice is an early U2 song, I Will Follow. And of course, kind of your neighbours back in the day, you kind of grew up around Bono, didn't you?
Yeah, it was kind of, it's kind of funny because I remember Bono from when he just had really bad taste in Winkle Pickers, and mind you, he probably still does. But he used to come and play guitar with my brother, and they used to sit up in the box room and they'd be playing guitar really badly, and I used to go, Jesus, will they ever shut up? And I remember him come one day giving me a whole load of this memorabilia. I think it was like the October album, and then there was an October mug and a T-shirt and postcards and things like that. And I just remember thinking to myself, going, who does my brother's friend think he is giving me this tat? I'm nearly sure most of it went in the bin. But I remember in the early days, so the boy who was on the cover of Boy and War, and I think one of the greatest hit albums, was a guy called Peter Roan. And I was, because we were all proddies, we all went to this tiny little school. And I think there was about five or six of us in the class. And I always remember being really jealous of Peter that he was on the cover of Boy. And I remember being really insulted, going, why couldn't I be on the cover of Boy? And they were like, Amanda, the clue is in the title. You ain't a boy. So yes, but I just have, I do listen to an awful lot of the older stuff, and it does bring me back to a certain time.
And did you take Bono seriously and you two seriously at a
Not
certain
at
point?
All. No,
really,
no. God, no. Sure, he was a neighbour. He lived around the corner. He used to drive a really battered white Fiat Bambino. It was a total rust bucket. And even I think he was still driving it even when they kind of had started to crack America, and they were huge. They would have been on MTV and all of the big shows, but he was still driving this little rust bucket, which was quite comical.
At what point was it when you saw them on MTV, did you accept at that point that maybe these guys were going somewhere? When did the neighbours kind of think, oh yeah, maybe he's doing okay.
Maybe they've got the hang of this.
Yeah.
I'm not sure, actually. I suppose kind of I then didn't see him for a while, and then when I started modelling and after I did Miss Ireland and stuff like that, then I'd start to bump into him again, and he'd go, oh, this is Amanda. He'd introduce me to people. This is Eddie's little sister. And I kind of got introduced to people.
Eddie's little sister. Okay, here's you two. I Will Follow. Sounds great, actually, doesn't it?
Doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And this is probably a good sound system in here and stuff as well. You could hear every little thing going on.
But I do love some of the really old tracks. Like Bad has to be one of my all-time favourite songs by U2 as well.
Yeah,
love
so the early
now,
stuff when you were young and music meant more. Amanda's almost right. Straight men do live longer than single men, but single men pack more crack in, says Noel in Dublin. Okay. I'm a middle-aged, straight, married woman. I have discussed with at least two of my friends that we would love to live together. And if something happens in future, maybe we will. Yeah, but they live together like a convent kind of thing, I'd say. Is that what that woman is suggesting, I think? So, Camille, you mentioned then the modelling. You were confident, young one, were you? You started modelling when you were 15, putting yourself out there, yeah?
Listen, aren't most kids confident? Like when when I was younger, everything was just so easy. People used to say yes to me. And I suppose it kind of fed the monster. It was just like, oh, this is great. And I'd go, I'll try this. And that would work out. And I'd try this and that would work out. And it was only until my mid-20s that people started saying no to me. And I was just quite taken back by that. Like,
you see, I think sometimes, though, that gorgeous women have to check their privilege. They're like, the queen thinks the world smells of fresh paint. You thought the world world said yes to you.
It's so true. But I started modelling when I was 15. You have to remember, Dublin was a very different place when I was 15. There was very few clothes shops. There was very few restaurants. There was very few places to go out.
So what were the modelling gigs then?
Oh, they were shocking. It was shocking. Now, it was never the stuff you would put in the Sunday Independent. It would be kind of like, it wasn't promotional stuff. It was all kind of workwear. And there was a place called Libra. And I used to wear clothes for like middle-aged and old women. And I had I did all these kind of brochure type kind of photo shoots and stuff. But it was brilliant because I was one of the richest people in Finglas. And I wasn't selling anything.
Okay, steady on. Yeah.
But it was like, literally, I was walking around, I had the best shoes I had. I remember I used to have these really high pink suede boots, and I'd be walking around. Now, I'd be getting on the bus and people going, who is that Egypt? But I had the best fun. It was just, life just seemed so uncomplicated and easy.
And then 17, you won Miss Ireland.
By mistake. I went in for it and I didn't think I was going to win the thing because I hadn't finished school yet, which wasn't ideal.
Okay.
So it was like, oops. And I actually, I had...
So did you lie about your age then when it's supposed to be 18?
I was Nadine Coyle before Nadine Coyle was even born. So it was a bit troublesome, but... it turned out there was some other girl from Peru or something like that who was the same age as me, so they let me in.
Come here, you know the way, that was obviously a different time as well, and people, do you look back on that scene now and think, and you went off to Miss World and everything, were you being exploited, like, or do you see it that way?
I wouldn't have thought that I was being exploited. It was very long and I was very lonely while I was over there. Because you have to remember, we'd no social media, there was no mobile phones, there was no FaceTiming. And it was just, it was 5 weeks. It was arduous. And then I refused to go to Miss Universe when I came back. And they had to send another contestant from the Miss Ireland. But I was just like, there's no way I'm putting myself through that. Like literally 5 weeks. And it was, I'd only been away from home kind of twice. But like, it was just so long. And it was like.
Yes, you were only a kid. Really,
I was
like,
really
a
kid.
And come here, you know, we don't use the word like bitchy anymore or whatever. But what
the scene was. Are we not allowed to use that word anymore?
I don't anyway. You can use it probably.
It started off great. And then because I was that confident young one, I kind of got put forward for all the kind of talking to the press. So we started in London, we then went to Johannesburg, we went from Joburg down to Durban, we were in Sun City, then we went to New York, and then the actual competition was in Atlanta, Georgia. And it started off great, but because I was kind of chosen, and obviously because English was my first language, it was kind of easy to put me out there. And there was kind of about five of us who kind of always did the press. And my roommate, who was Miss Jamaica, she was stunningly beautiful. She actually ended up placing, she was like number three, I think. But she then just took a dislike to me because I was kind of taking some of her shine away.
Okay.
So I was very excluded because all the Caribbean girls kind of hung together and I couldn't even really relax in the room. So it was long, but, you know, I'm still glad I did it. It kind of formed who I was or who I am.
I can imagine it was character forming. The song you picked kind of from that time is R.E.M. Losing My Religion, which doesn't sound like a Miss World party song.
It's not a, because it's that's me in the spotlight. That's me losing my, it's kind of like, it's all about kind of here I am being kind of in the middle of a spotlight and it's all going a bit crazy. Life is a bit crazy. And I suppose I have a real melancholy side, even though I'm a typical Gemini. I'm kind of all jazz hands and I'm all about the crack. And then I kind of retreat to kind of the more quiet me, which is good because you couldn't be that kind of high energy all the time.
You'd wear yourself out. Yeah. So here's somber Amanda's song then. This is R.E.M. Losing My Religion.
Just a dream. That was just a dream. That's me in the corner. That's me in the spotlight. Losing my religion. Trying to keep up with you. And I don't know if I can do it. Oh no, I've said too much.
So that was that thoughtful Amanda's song there. Michael Stipe kind of hung around the Irish scene for a while, did he? Did you know him?
Yeah, I would have met him. He was a Lily's man. I would have met him a good few times. And then I got to meet him in more recent times. And he's an interesting character. He wouldn't be the most gregarious or
no, that is not the impression you get. Gregarious is not the word. No.
I remember one time we were sitting, I think we were getting after a U2 gig. They kind of bus out the VIPs, which is all very lovely, and they bring you to the after party. And I remember there was I think myself, my husband, and I had my kids over. They would have been quite young. They would have been kind of about 9 or 10, and Michael Stipe and Imelda May. And of course Imelda and myself were as giddy out after the U2 concert, and we were just happy to be out kind of thing. And she starts telling all these stories that she had a pet crow at one point, and she was talking about how the pet crow would kind of come around with her and talk to her and do things, and he was just sitting there going, these Irish women, will they shut up?
I wonder, did he write Shiny Happy People about ye? By the way, there's a text here from Joan. Brendan, never heard such a load of codswallop from that woman. She certainly doesn't speak for me. Joan, I don't think she was saying she spoke for you.
Not speaking for everybody.
Yeah. You can be, would we say, divisive? Like you have kind of annoyed people, some people,
listen,
all your life, really, haven't you?
All through the years, I'm a bit like Marmite. So I don't take offence to anybody who doesn't like me, because we're not meant to like everybody, and I wouldn't expect everybody to like me. But I just try and have a bit of fun and go about my day. And if I upset people, I hate that. Like, the last thing I want to do is upset anybody.
Yeah, but equally, it's none of your business. If they don't like you, they don't like you.
Yeah, exactly. But I don't need to know about it either if they don't like
you. Okay, sorry. So you mentioned about Michael Stipe being a Lily's man. You were more a Reynard's person.
Gal.
You worked there and everything.
Yeah.
Just explain for people who weren't there. People our age think it was the golden age. Like, there's probably a new golden age going on somewhere in Dublin nightlife that we don't even know about now. But
I don't think there is.
Really?
I actually feel sorry for kind of young people now, because there isn't a scene. Like, Reynard's and Lily's were these two kind of, they were deemed as celebrity clubs or whatever, but they weren't. Loads of people went. There happened to be celebrities who would go as well. And there was a kind of a phase in the early noughties when a lot of the UK celebrities would come over, because we didn't really have paparazzi, and they could come over and have the crack and nobody would really annoy them. But then, of course, the paparazzi thing did come to Dublin. But what I loved about...
You worked as, can we still say hostess?
Yeah. I was a hostess in Reynard's, and I was only there for about 18 months. But I have to say, it was one of the best things I ever did, and actually one of the best career moves, because I met so many people and made so many lifelong friends and connections. Whereas I would have never got a chance to meet these people. You know, you had these huge celebrities coming in, and yes, I was just serving them drink and talking to them and whatever. But I ended up becoming great friends with loads of people. And meeting, like, I remember Dolores O'Riordan came in one time and she was just, I didn't realise what a small and fragile little person she was. And I just remember one of the things she said, she'd been talking for a long time and I was just mesmerised by her. And she goes, "You've a lovely aura about you." And I was just like, going, "Okay, thank you."
What was the most celebrity, what was the most Reynard's night you ever had there?
Listen, there was many memorable ones. I remember one time looking at Robbie Fox, whose club it was, and literally we had nearly every Irish millionaire and billionaire in the club. There was one night I said, if this place was to go on fire, we'd take out the economy. It was just phenomenal. But there was great nights with great nights at Turn Sour. I remember after the MTV Awards, we had a couple of MTV Awards here. Can't remember which one it was. But like you had like the likes of on one couch, you'd have Colin Farrell, you'd have talking to Tom Jones, talking to your man from Jackass. I can't remember, isn't it? Johnny Knoxville and a few other people. And it was just random people. And I remember Lady Victoria Harvey and Snoop Dogg and just bizarre people. And then I remember all of a sudden everybody was having a great night. Everything was just running smoothly, everybody was happy, and then all of a sudden all these guards came up in their yellow high-vis jackets, everybody had to bail, and I was just like going, lads, we're just sitting around having a few drinks, having the crack. So that was kind
did
of
did you get everyone out discreetly?
We got a lot of people out the back door. Yeah, they all kind of had to
there would have been great discretion there. And like it was a time before camera phones and everything as well, wasn't it? Like
it was just easier.
I think even well-known people were looser back then and like a bit messier, like
well,
known
it's,
again.
It's kind of, I think it's sad, the whole camera phone thing now. It must be hard to be a young person because literally you can't go out, have a few drinks and just, or make a mistake without it being documented. And I feel very grateful that I had this kind of bizarre kind of youth. And that it might not have ever happened because none of it is recorded. There's only a few, there's a few handful of photographs from back in the kind of what I think the great days of when Colin Farrell was still drinking and he was making these huge big movies and he was coming back and the parties and, you know, he'd be telling you stories about, you know, Britney Spears and it was just like, oh my God! And it was just so much fun. But it was all quite tame, really. I do have really fond memories of my Reynard's days.
Yeah. But yet, the song you kind of picked from that time is Portishead. This is when you retreat back into...
Well, you have to remember, you can't party for 5 or 6 days and then not need to retreat to a dark room and listen to somber music. So also there was a time that I was dreaming really big because I had feck all money, let's be honest. I would be making pittance. I used to get those little brown envelopes. Do you remember those brown envelopes? I miss them. Yeah. But I had very little money, but I was meeting all these people who were living these fantastic lives.
You see, that's hard,
And I was like going, you know, I want a bit of that. You know, I really do. And I was kind of going, you know, one day it'll get easier. Because I remember I was staying in my brother-in-law's mother's house in Phibsborough. But it was just kind of me in this big empty house. And I was just like, oh, you know, one of these days, it's all going to kick off. But Portishead, because I was listening to tracks before I came to pick out the songs. And I just went, my God, that music still sounds so fresh. So Dummy is the most amazing album. If you're looking for anything new to listen, check out Portishead Dummy album. It's amazing.
Yeah, and here's Sour Times. Said Sour Times. Let's change it up a bit here. The next song was your wedding song.
This is the happy song. So I'm married 14 years next month, which is bizarre, but we've been together 19 years. And we did everything kind of backwards. We had a couple of kids, and then we went, oh, sure, listen, let's do this marriage situation. So we kind of eloped and we went over to New York, and we lived like rock stars for 5 days with some of our pals, and it was just the best time. But Empire State of Mind had just come out, and it was the big song at the time. And I just remember being in hanging out of limos with warm bottles of champagne.
Yeah, and this is definitely the song to do it to. This is Jay-Z and Alicia Keys, Empire State of Mind.
The limelight, empty in May, got you feeling like a champion. The city never sleeps, better slip you an ambient.
Amazing. The joy, the exhilaration.
I know, and I'm smiling now and I'm thinking it's the weekend. I'm so happy.
Yeah, a lot of smiling old people there hearing that, I'd say. You're turning 50 next year. How do you feel about that?
Do you know what? It's just a number, to be honest. It doesn't really bother me, but I am actually really excited to get into my 50s. This sounds bizarre that I actually want to age myself up, but I haven't enjoyed my 40s. I found my 40s really tough. I found it, there's been an awful lot of, it's at that stage where I've been peak parenting. There's been a lot of parenting going on. And while I love it and I adore my kids, I'm kind of at that point where it's like, oh, I need to start getting back to me. Thankfully, I've got kind of, my sons are men. They're taller than me at this stage, but they still require an awful lot of work. And so, yeah, I'm excited.
But you think you're coming out of that phase
I
now?
Can see
and you're
the
still
light.
Young enough to have a good next phase, yeah.
Yeah, I can see the light, and I'm just excited for myself and my husband that we can kind of do more things without it always having to be with kids. But don't get me wrong, like you love them
and everything. And
we're still there, but I'm excited for the next phase. And my husband's turning 50 at the end of the year. I think he wants to go over to Vegas. I think there's a band playing over there later in the year. I think he's going to go down to that. But next year I want to be in Ibiza in a bikini. I don't know how I'm going to do it. There's a lot of work that needs to happen between
no
now
problem,
and then.
Dear.
But I'm excited for the next phase, I must admit. Excited.
Isn't that that's a great way to be. Lots of nice texts. Always love Amanda. Great to hear her on air again. Bernie says, I love Amanda since I saw her in the Irish College TV programme. And Magella O'Donnell. Now, Brendan, tell Amanda I think she's great. Good fun, a great sense of humour. Also, a very good playwright. And that's from
the
boss
there. She came to my last show. It was called How to Leave Your Husband.
Okay.
And she had her husband with her, but thankfully she didn't take any hints from the show.
Yes.
But yes, Magella, please come to Curiosity if you can. It'd be great to see you.
Your final choice is kind of it's kind of I think looking to that future in your next phase, but it's also about your past and about your brother who you mentioned earlier.
Yeah, so my brother passed away. It'll be 23 years in December, which is mind blowing, really, because it only seems like yesterday.
It is a big sadness in
your family's life,
isn't it?
You know, it's terrible. I know my mum's listening, and it's just the wrong way for things to happen when you lose your child. And I always remember thinking, God, he was so old. He was, and God love him, he was only 37 when he passed.
Yeah.
And I remember getting to his age and I go, wow, he wasn't that old at all. But he lived his life very true to himself. He accomplished an awful lot in his life, but he was very mean with his CDs. So just to tie in with the song, I always remember he had, because like if you think back, like CDs when they first came out, they were so precious. Mm. And they would have been so expensive. And I remember I was always trying to listen to his music because he had really good taste in music. But Tracy Chapman was Fast Cars was one of the albums that he had. And he used to always give out to me because I'd always my sticky fingers would be in all his stuff.
But you know what? That's what Big Brothers are for.
I know. Well, but I got custody of the CDs afterwards.
Did you?
Okay. So, which were really special.
OK, listen, Amanda Brunker, thank you very much. And people can catch Curiosity at the Viking Theatre Clontarf from September 4th to September 16th. Tickets available from vikingtheatredublin.com. Is that good enough for you?
That
you
is fantastic. Got the second plug in again. Any of my social media. Amanda Brunker, just Google me. You'll find the tickets. So please come along and have a giggle.
OK, and we'll finish up with your last choice. This is Tracy Chapman and Fast Car. Thanks, Amanda.
Cheers.
So I remember when we were driving in your car. Speed so fast, I felt like I was drunk. City lights day out before us, and your arm felt nice, wrapped round my shoulder. And I had a feeling that I belonged. I had a feeling I could be someone, be someone, be someone.
Email brendan@rte.ie.